Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Unexplained, which in a very short space of time could be inexplicable or unexpected. I am Ewan Rankin, and this is a new show for the network, which we've never tried before, so stick with us, eh? Joining me, I've got Tony Hancock, alias Will Green, because he's not on video this week again. Hello, mate.
Hello.
It's been a while since we spoke, only an hour or so, but we're ready to go again. And also, a very interested party, Dr. Happy Mac, Andrew Stevens, back again.
More just Andrew Stevens today.
Just Andrew Stevens, no Mac discussed whatsoever. And we're here to discuss the unexplained. Anything at all could be provided in this show. There could be absolutely anything. We're not necessarily going to stick to news, are we, guys?
No.
Just fun stuff about ghosts, ghouls, aliens, abduction, lightning, pyramids, Machu Picchu, anything you like. So, where shall we start then? You've got some stories for us, haven't you, Will?
Well, you've got them.
I've got them, okay. So, the first one is your favourite, I believe. Apparently a dead alien that was a Russian alien found in the snow, partly decomposed, was an extremely well-made chicken.
Yes, an alien chicken.
And there's a video on YouTube as well, isn't there?
I haven't seen that.
No, it says there's a video on YouTube for it. Remember that a dead alien was found in Russia. Well, it's been scientifically analysed, and it turns out that it's a cunningly crafted pair of students have done it to stale bread and chicken skin.
Stale bread?
Stale bread is the body. You would have thought that wouldn't need chemical analysis, wouldn't you?
Give it a kick, wouldn't you?
It's like you kind of know dead bread when you see it.
Yeah, which bits with the chicken? What, the skin, I suppose?
It's dead. It just says stale bread and chicken skin. So there's not chicken in the middle. It's just bread, brown. It's a brown bread alien. That alien's brown bread.
They made the skin is made out of dead chicken.
That's right.
As I understand it. But I remember years ago, well, it wasn't years ago, about 3 years ago, I was on the beach and I saw this sort of washed up dead corpse of some bizarre creature. And you just give it a kick, don't you? I mean, you can't help yourself. What is this then? I'll give it a quick kick, see what happens. And that's what they should have done with this.
They should have given it a kick.
That's all they needed to do. And the ruse will have very quickly been unmasked.
There's some sort of hoaxing it up costume thing. Maybe it was a year ago that they had some American chaps came up with Bigfoot in a freezer, didn't they? And it turned out to be a rented Bigfoot costume.
Stuffed with what?
Not stuffed with anything. It was just they rented a Bigfoot costume, put it in the freezer, and invited the world's press round. And they took samples and everything from it, and they came back and said, yeah, this is 100% man-made fibre, and it's got a label in it that says...
It's got a label. It's got a label.
Some of these unexplained creatures stand up to more scrutiny than...
You've got to say, what researcher turns up at a fridge with a fake bear suit costume in it, takes a label and doesn't suspect anything until he gets hold of a microscope to confirm?
But the chap that did it was quite a well-known Bigfoot hunter, and all the people that believed in Bigfoot were sort of, well, if this guy says it's real, then it must be real.
Well, has he got a trophy on the wall? He's got several stuffed Bigfoot heads on the wall with the elephant gun.
So do you believe in Bigfoot then, Will?
Oh, I'm sure there's something out there. I mean, you hear stories all the time of sort of...
Even if it's only a man in a rented costume.
Yeah. Well, they still haven't been able to disprove the original one. It'll, from the back of my brain, there's a name that they call the video. You know, the
Zapruder film of Bigfoot.
It's a something name. And they still haven't been able to disprove that one. And I can't see any rational explanation to say that there isn't such a thing maybe there is a few rational explanations to say, well, there's not a big hairy man living in the woods, but who knows? It's unexplained.
It's very bizarre. The Patterson-Gimlin film.
That's it. That's the chap.
That's the one.
And it's the Bigfoot has a strange gait to it, doesn't it, that they think would be difficult for somebody to replicate.
A mate of mine's uncle spends his entire family fortune and his wife and everything left him, and he went to live on Loch Ness because he was, and he's quite famous, and to prove the existence of Loch Ness, he was so committed to the idea that it existed.
I mean, that's been around for a long time, hasn't it? The old searching up and down the loch with the scanners, and they've done things that have got deep penetration scanners that go all the way to the bottom of this thing, and it's a really deep fissure in the rock, isn't it, the thing is? But they reckon they've found no inlets or outlets from it, and there's absolutely no way that anything that's alive could have evaded their technology.
No, there's more water in Loch Ness than in every other lake in the United Kingdom put together.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So Loch Ness and every other lake in the UK.
But that's, so there's plenty of places to hide there then.
Well, I guess in a theory, yes, but I mean, is it not sort of common sense that if you've got a monster in a loch, then you have to have two monsters so that they can breed? In which case you'd need lots of monsters.
In which case at some point you'd hope there'd be three monsters.
Yes, and then more monsters.
So. And then the monster would inbreed because, of course, it'd have to mate with its sister or brother. So there'd need to be four at minimum. And then when the inbreeding starts, they'd die out from the inbreeding in two generations or something.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's just like, I mean, some things you can see happening and some things you think, well, you know, common sense should descend in a big steel shutter at some point. I mean, Bigfoot, you know, there's a big, America's big and it's empty. And, you know, they could, in theory, I suppose, feasibly, you could have something. But in an area like Loch Ness, can you really have something in there?
I was going to say, the one thing you don't want to see is the Loch Ness monster having sex with his sister. That's a no-no, surely. That's got to be a taboo in the unexplained world.
Can you rent the costumes? That'd be great.
They take a while to dry, though. That's the only problem. Now, someone in the chat room suggesting, wouldn't they have been better to have started with a rubber chicken as opposed to the skin? But the picture does look convincing, doesn't it, on this webpage?
Yes, a nice picture.
From distance, it looks like it's been half devoured by wild animals, which is realistic. That's what would happen if it was dead. And the head looks scary as hell.
Yeah. It's very E.T. looking, isn't it?
It is. It's got the olive-shaped eyes and all that kind of stuff. Two students, though, apparently, Timur Hilal and Kirill Vaslov, who were 18 and 19. You've got to say, if Bill and Ted turn up and say they found an alien, you really ought to be thinking twice about saying yes, shouldn't you?
Well, I think they preempted it obviously clever chaps with a report of this UFO coming through the skies and falling to Earth. There was a bit of planning involved as well.
There's a comments there. Which gulag have they now been sent to? Oh dear, dear, dear.
There was a one in Panama, wasn't there? Somebody knocked a sloth together as well, which looked really weird because sloths have big long arms. So the monster had these enormous arms with funny long claws on the end that looked really unworldly, and the thing was horrible, and it was like a skinned thing, and it turned out that it was a tree sloth that had been flopping around in the river for weeks.
Oh, so they'd found a tree sloth and they'd pretended it was an alien.
Well, no, it washed up. The tree sloth's body washed up and everyone ran around, and rather than looking at it and going, that looks very strange, but like a tree sloth that's washed up, everyone went, that looks a bit strange, it's an alien. it's Panama.
I thought you were saying someone had knocked up a fake tree sloth. Why the hell would you do that? I tell you what.
No.
I thought it was a Bigfoot thing, but on a larger scale.
No, this wasn't a hoax. It was just an odd dead animal. And some people decided that the obvious conclusion to jump to was that it was an alien.
Of course.
The thing is, in America, though, when they get these sort of mysterious sightings, you read every single time, this weird creature appeared in my backyard, and so I went into the house, got my gun and shot it. I mean, the amount of times you hear that, they love it, they're kind of, this creature, I went out and I shot the little chap. And you think, oh, just leave him alone. I was reading one the other day about this huge owl. So this American went into his house, got his gun and shot it. You think, why for God's sake? I mean,
Pa, pa, I bagged me an alien. Well, they are kind of, well, it's a generalisation to say that Americans are gung-ho, but you've got to say first contact, you'd be better off getting the British, wouldn't you? At least you get, yes, a decent cup of tea.
Yeah, we'd have a chat and not necessarily shoot you immediately.
Hello. Yes, I thought we'd make first contact with you. We've decided to come to London instead, though, because we heard the Earl Grey spiffing. Now then, about planetary domination over a Kit Kat. The second story, then, is a transparent domed UFO with occupants in Blenheim, New Zealand. Who on earth goes... Why would aliens go to New Zealand? Is it for the view?
Well, I've been told it's very nice.
Exactly, for the view. It's great for if you want to go and look at a nice mountain and a good walk, but it's not exactly the most vibrant place in the world, is it?
Well, they must... I imagine by the time the radio signals for the TV broadcast of Lord of the Rings has got out into space, and the aliens are like looking at that going, oh yeah, holiday, looks good.
Now, the standard joke, though, in New Zealand is, I wanted a tattoo, and the wife said, don't do it anywhere important, so I went to Christchurch to have it done. It's not the most vibrant place. Why would aliens go there? They just, because you wouldn't come into wilderness. I just don't get that. Unless they want to stay out of the way, of course.
Don't the Australians hate the New Zealand? Isn't there a, not hate, but you know what I mean? There's a, like a sort of comic...
I think there's genuine hatred there.
Oh, it's genuine.
Yeah, it's genuine, yeah. No, I think the New Zealanders hate being thought of as Australian. So if you go up to New Zealand and say, are you from Australia? Then you get a punch in the face. If you say it to an Australian, you don't get punched in the face, but they're not that particularly happy about it. So it's kind of a bit one-way traffic. But New Zealanders hate the Australians, yeah. Absolutely. No,
I wonder why.
So do you think it's an Australian hoax just to piss off the New Zealanders?
Maybe. Give us a bit more info about the story then. So there's an alien, is it just a sighting of a UFO?
There's a preamble. Mrs. Moreland saw a sharply outlined saucer-shaped object with two extremely bright sources of green light on the underside. The object was approximately 20 to 30 feet wide and hovered at rooftop level, about 15 feet above the ground. Inside a transparent dome, she said there were two men dressed in fairly close-fitting suits of shiny material.
This is bollocks. This is complete bollocks, isn't it?
Mrs. Frederick Morland of Blenheim, New Zealand, a busy housewife with five children, was helping her husband tend their small 9-acre farm as a working as a part-time nurse laid at Lister Hospital in Blenheim at the time of the sight occurring. It was at 5:50 a.m. It was dark with low cloud, no kidding. When Mrs. Morland went into the barn in the morning to do the milking, she noticed a green glow in the overcast, and this was halfway across the paddock when she saw the large green lights emerge from the clouds and descend rapidly towards the ground in her direction. I noticed that I was bathed in a green light and that all the paddock was green too, she later reported in a written statement to the local police. She said that it was so bright she couldn't see her own torchlight in the green glare. It was a horrid sort of colour. My first thought was I shouldn't be here, and I made a dive for the trees to the other side of the paddock. There you go.
Like a helicopter.
No, the only bit of that was fake was the fact that she had a slightly higher voice, of course. But
I thought it was very good, the accent.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah. No, that's complete balls, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Well, it also happened in 1959, so I don't know why you've picked this up as news. We're up to date on this show.
Isn't it a shame that the UFO designs are so unimaginative?
Why? What would you have then?
Well, you'd think if an alien was
It would look like Enterprise.
Well, it would look like something that you couldn't imagine, and people would look at it and go... But they, you know, it just seems that they always look exactly like you'd expect a UFO to look.
But okay, so how did you expect the first UFO to look?
What?
Well, is you saying it looks like the first UFO would look, or it looked like a UFO you would expect it to look? But I mean, I don't know how. Well,
if you look at how what people report UFOs looking like, then the shape and the effects that UFOs generate tends to lag about 2 or 3 years behind what Hollywood is depicting UFOs as.
Well, you say that, but there was that copper, wasn't there, in Norwich, who saw, or in Thetford Forest, and he saw a triangle-shaped vessel that hovered in the trees with loads and loads of light, and then it shot off, and he was left blown back on his backside. I remember reading that one, but that wasn't... That wasn't saucer shaped. That was a pyramid. It was a three-sided... Was it a tetrahedron? Is that a three-sided pyramid?
Yeah, that's a pyramid with a square base, isn't it?
There you go.
Can you have a pyramid with a square base?
No.
Does that work then?
No, that's a pyramid. A pyramid with a square base is a pyramid, and a tetrahedron is four sides with three edges.
You can't have a pyramid with a square base. It's only a pyramid with a, it's got a triangle base because it's only got three sides.
No, a pyramid's got four sides with a square base. The pyramids in Egypt have got four sides, haven't they? Four triangles, four equilateral triangles, yeah. And a tetrahedron has got three equilateral triangles, so it sits, it looks the same from any direction.
Now, Ewan, yes. Surely at this point, that would be a wonderful link to the next story.
It would, absolutely. Which one?
The one about the pyramids.
The one about the pyramids. Where's the one about the pyramids gone? I haven't got that.
It's on the BBC.
NASA have been finding pyramids for the Egyptians.
NASA have been finding
satellites.
Oh, right. Okay. I found it now. Yes. Yeah, sorry. So, yeah, using that as a natural link then, that's really smooth.
Sick, isn't it?
No, it really isn't. 17 lost pyramids among the buildings identified by a new satellite survey of Egypt. So that's one. NASA are doing it for the Egyptian government. So they found underground pyramids. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. Well, pyramids that have been buried. You can't see them from the ground because they're gone.
They've just been covered over.
From space, then you can see where they were.
So have these been naturally covered over, or did they build them underground to start with?
No. It's just like the action of the years has erased them from the surface of the earth. It's like in Britain, if you have a long, dry summer, then if you look at fields and things from helicopters, you can see old Roman roads and things running through the fields where the field has dried out, where the road was.
Right.
It's a similar thing.
Okay. So there's a quote here from one of the archaeologists who says, to excavate a pyramid is the dream of every archaeologist. Now, I would have thought it was to watch someone else excavate it, because it's got to be a lot of work in that.
But if you look at the... I'm sure they know what they're talking about. But if you look at the pictures...
We obviously don't.
I mean, it just looks... They put this square around this area on the floor, and the area on the floor looks exactly the same as the other areas on the floor. So yeah. I don't know quite how they figured this out.
It looks like a fingerprint, doesn't it? Like,
it really does. I mean,
how the fuck has that got any difference from what's around it?
We found a dozen of them.
Can you imagine some bloke? I mean, that's probably as well. That square is probably about the size of Texas or something. Or it's the size of Greater London, and someone's going to get in there with a shovel, dig for 12 months and go, no, fuck all here.
I think we should say that these people are experts, but I can't see it. Because on the top, you've got Sans El Hager, and then there's a little link to ancient Tanis. Now, are they saying ancient Tanis is where all these pyramids are based, or I don't get it.
I don't see that link.
It's at the top.
All right. Oh, we're at the very top.
Yeah, the two pictures.
Oh, got you. Sanhel El Hager and Ancient Tanis. So those are the two same places, aren't they, I guess?
Well, I think the one picture is zooming in on the other picture to show you where these pyramids are, but I don't know.
Oh, no, no, you're right. Sorry, that other one's a zoomed in bit of the first one, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Got to get the time team in there. They've only got 3 days to uncover these. These pyramids.
So, do you think Tony Robinson's got the ability to quell unrest in Egypt?
I think so. Well, I think he could sort it out.
Or do we just need to send Tony Robinson there? He should go back to being Baldrick and stop doing the archaeology shit.
I do enjoy the time team things, don't you?
No.
Fair enough. I like it when the saucy archaeologists turn up. That's the only reason I sort of stop around for him. Because occasionally you get this stunning blonde who, in this sort of hard hat.
Now, I've got to say, I've always watched Tony Robinson and it's had the effect of making me switch it off rather than stick around for the blondes. But,
well, stick around for the blondes.
Well, archaeology is a real problem, though. I mean, I've done a lot of work for people that dig holes in roads and things like that over the years. And they're under instructions that, you know, official instructions say if you find any skulls or bones or anything like that, you know, you have to stop digging, you have to report it. There has to be an archaeologist come to site and verify whether we can carry on digging. It holds projects up for months. The unofficial line is if you find any bones, you know, dig them back in as fast as you possibly can, crush them up, because it means that the project won't ever finish.
I suppose.
Dr. Alice Roberts, says Tone. Is she the one that's got the dark hair? And does the things from Sparta and all that kind of stuff, because she's kind of hot. That's true.
Is she on Time Team?
Dr. Alice Roberts. Didn't she do a Bobby Lou thing for like the carpool thing? Was it her?
Yeah, I do recognise it. That wasn't the one I was talking about, but yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter. This is a serious supernatural...
Yes, she was on Carpool.
It's a bit like Carry On Behind, isn't it?
What this is?
No, the archaeology thing. They got it bang on there.
Story of the week, then, has to be that Roswell was an utter fake created by the Soviets as a plot to create US panic. What do you think?
Would that not be nonsense?
Why?
I mean, well, that's double nonsense, isn't it? Because, like, Roswell's nonsense, that there's no UFO and there's no alien and et cetera, et cetera. But also the actual legend that is Roswell only really came about in the 70s, late 70s, when people picked up on one. At the time, it was nothing. There was no great... If it was a Soviet plot to create panic, then it was rubbish because the Americans didn't even notice Roswell or Area 51. All this Area 51 malarkey and stuff is modern. It's a modern creation. It didn't start till the late 70s.
Yeah, well, no, apparently. I mean, Tony in the chat room saying he thought it was a fake created by the US because there was pictures of the guy that found it supposedly immediately afterwards with bits of foil and all that kind of stuff. And his son reckons that he brought home bits of the foil and they were really, you couldn't bend them, you couldn't crease them, you couldn't tear them, you couldn't rip them. And then he was hailed and then he was discredited, wasn't he, like a day or two afterwards?
Well, they found the bits and everyone said the American military, American Air Force said something about unidentified or they didn't know what it was. And then a couple of days later, they came out with the sort of weather balloon thing. And that was that. But all of these things that, you know, people saying we got this, it had strange alien hieroglyphs or we couldn't bend it or it didn't conform to any known, all of those extra stories didn't start surfacing until the late 70s.
Well, according to this, Joseph Stalin recruited the services of Josef Mengele, which has got...
better than the alien story.
It's really got pantomime written all over it before you even start there, hasn't it? So, the Angel of Death supposedly horrifically mutilated a pile of midgets so that they'd look like aliens and stitched extra bits on them and all that kind of stuff before he fled to South America. And these grotesque child-size aviators were then shoved into this craft, which was then deliberately crashed in America. There you go. That's the essence of the story. What do you reckon?
It's from a new book, isn't it? That's getting a load of coverage called some. I can't remember what it's called. But something about Roswell. The voice is going now, isn't it?
It is.
I think the voice is almost. It's added. Anyway. This story's come from a new book that's circulating at the moment that seems to have an enormous amount of money behind it because it's everywhere. Well, it's a new Roswell book. But I found the Roswell stuff a little bit boring after a while because I genuinely do think there was something a bit strange going on. I think the way that they changed their tune from the initial press release that, yeah, this is... We've discovered a crashed alien spaceship to the weather balloon, which was sort of rushed out about, is it the next day or something?
Yeah, exactly. That was complete bull.
It's a bit strange. So it's either terrestrial or it's alien. And I sort of do believe it is alien personally.
Now, this is the interesting thing because you're deciding between surgically altered midgets deliberately crashed by the Russians into American soil at the height of the Cold War or alien life. And you've gone with alien life. Or the weather balloon.
Those are the three choices.
Okay.
Take your choice. No, because I do genuinely believe in alien life. I think it seems a bit straight.
Oh, there's got to be some air there, surely.
Improbable. Well, I mean, it's like a... So if you were a betting man, it would make sense to bet out of these millions of galaxies and millions of planets and all that gubbins that we're alone.
Oh, and a few more zeros, isn't it? I mean, they reckon that there's over 100 billion stars in the Milky Way before you get outside that. So all the other galaxies that and, you know, there's 100 billion galaxies outside of the Milky Way. So, you know, if you look at exoplanets of those galaxies, of those stars, you're talking about... trillions upon trillions upon trillions of potential exoplanets for every single star that are out there, and there's got to be something living on one of them, even if it's a dirt bug.
It sounded like somebody's blown up a balloon then.
That's Andrew's. Andrew's noisy apartment. So, Andrew, what do you go with? Do you go with genetically or plastically altered midgets from Russia, or aliens, or weather balloon?
My heart says midgets. My head says balloons. I mean, whose heart wouldn't say midgets, surgically altered midgets?
I mean, but what mad fucker would create this UFO at huge expense, stuff it full of dead midgets with bits sewn on, fly it over to America and deliberately crash it? To what end? To what end? I don't get it.
Well, to create panic. I mean, that's what the article's saying, isn't it? You know, at the height of the Cold War.
Panic.
The thing is, you've got a technologically devoid Stalin sitting there who's a bullish man who's all about steel and steel production and engineering, and he's a man of the political and industrial revolution. And he allegedly comes up with this idea of using a German Nazi scientist to create a dead thing out of midgets. It is wild. The only thing they're saying as well is that there's a Horton HO229, which was Messerschmitt had a part in that, and it was to do with it was jet propulsion, and they've made one of these things and said that it's actually really incredibly unstable in terms of flying, but they never actually went into production with any of these things. But these were V-wing stealth bombers, effectively, that the Nazis had developed, and they'd made prototypes, but they'd never flown them. But I've seen a Discovery program where they reproduced this thing, and they reckon that it dynamically, it wouldn't have been, it wasn't stealthy, and it wouldn't have flown particularly well anyway. So they picked on real facts here.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, if it can, I've seen those, and they're only small, and they can only go about 3 foot up in a hangar, can't they? So the idea of it getting all the way from Russia to America. What is it? And who flew it anyway? Who flew it? It's full of dead midgets.
Maybe one of the dead midgets did. Maybe the Russians had a committed suicidal midget that captained all the others. So he gets in this little plane, and all the other midgets are bound and gagged in the back. And when he gets there, just before he dies, he sets it on autopilot for crashing, and then climbs in the back and undoes all the bonds of the others. There's a bit of a fight, but it's too late. It's already gone into the soil now.
You nailed it, mate. You've nailed it.
It's the original suicide mission.
I'm going to withdraw my weather balloon, and your one sounds much, much more likely now.
I'll tell you, that's fucking plausible. There's no question. That's exactly... You've got a Stalinist loyal Russian midget who's been surgically altered by Josef Mengele to look like an alien, who then goes... Well, I don't know, because they did things with the eyes, didn't they, as well? So whether he's blind or not, that's the only question. But he crashes it, but he unbinds all the others first. There's a tussle, and then they find a few of the dead bodies. And he tries, or maybe it's on autopilot to try and land it so that it doesn't come apart too badly, and some of them are still alive. No? have I just gone too far now?
It makes perfect rational sense.
Write a book.
Yes.
So is that it then?
I think we've probably covered it. I mean, those are the five stories that we got. One of them was from 1959, which was the most current we could manage. The other one was from Roswell, which was 52, I think, wasn't it? So we're up there. We're on the beaten path.
Fantastic film, Iron Sky.
No, what's that about?
Have you not, Will? Iron Sky?
No, I'm afraid I haven't seen that.
Fantastic. Just Google Iron Sky. The trailers are on thing. It's coming out next year. It's like a fan-made and crowdfunded movie, and it's like in 1945 the Allies defeated the Nazis, and the remnants of the Nazi party fled to the moon in flying saucers. It's like 2012, yeah. And they're coming back.
Well, that is the theory, isn't it, that the old Nazis went to the moon?
You've got the technology to take the Nazi party to the moon, and you can't beat the friggin' Americans with no petrol.
No, it's brilliant. It's moon living Nazis versus from space versus the American military.
My kind of
classic
plot.
Film written all over it.
It's got B-film written all over it.
Oh, yes, but it's brilliant. It's just fantastic.
Attack of the 50-foot Nazi from space.
I mean, what's not to love? Nazis from the moon.
It's a good point. It's a Borman film in more ways than one. Right, we won't be back again next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks or a month. We don't know how often we're going to do these. And when we find the formula, they'll be a lot better, don't worry. I would do Where Can We Get a Hold of You, but are we going to do a gruel thingy or something? Or
what thingy?
A gruel thingy.
Or why gruel thingy? Or no, Iron Skies, I think. That's my
gruesome thingy. You're unexplained thingy.
It's Iron Sky.
No. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks. There'll be me, Will, and Dr. Happy Mac. And we also got a few experts coming on in their field.
More expert than us.
Well, exactly. Hard to believe, I know. But there are experts coming on. We've got some ghost hunters coming on, which should be brilliant, because I don't believe in ghosts at all. So.
Did you not hear the noise just then?
That was your daughter, I presume.
It was spooky. That's what it was.
For the next show, when we come back in 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it is, I'll tell you a real life ghost story that was the beginnings of my interest in the paranormal.
Maybe we should have started with that. Never mind. We'll be back in. See you soon. Bye.